And we're holding on Yud Ches Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom. One begins Svirle. We discussed that, so we're still in the middle of dealing with the issue of Tumas Mashkin, of the fact that liquids are able to become Tame and are able to be Metame, other things. What parts of that are Daraisa, what parts are Darabanan? In particular, we're focusing right now still on Rabbi Yossi's opinion, who said that mashkim have their own intrinsic tumah, they're able to become tameh, but daraisa, but to be metameh, other things is only drabanan. So we mentioned in this connection yesterday that Rabbi Yossi holds of a drosha like Rabbi Akiva does, where he takes a word yitma in the pasuk, it can become tameh, and uses it as if it said yitameh, it is able to be metameh. So he learns from that drinks are able not only to become tame themselves, sorry, I said it wrong, that he says that they're able to be tame other foods, also daraisa, only foods, we said not drinks, but to be tame kalim is something that exists only drabanan. So we said for that purpose, he's using a drosha that Rabbi Akiva used, taking the word yitma, it can become tame, and using it as if it said yitame, it can be metame, other things. So the last thing we said was that actually Rabbi Yossi doesn't necessarily agree with Rabbi Akiva on that. When Rabbi Yossi is saying that mashkim are able to be metame, other things, daraisa, that's following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but not something that he himself agrees with. In fact, the Gemara had said neither one of them would agree with the other. Rabbi Akiva would not agree with Rabbi Yossi's limudim and his dinim, and vice versa. So this is where we're up to. So eight lines from the bottom. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi asked Rav Kahana, how do we see that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi in fact disagree with each other? Bishlema Rabbi Yossi lo savalak Rabbi Akiva. We can understand how we see that Rabbi Yossi does not agree with Rabbi Akiva. Namely, the Tanya, so we're going to have a braisa that's going to go until the top of the next Amud, a few lines, and then at the end of it, we're going to see how we see that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. We have to remember that one thing we said yesterday is Rabbi Akiva holds that there is such a thing as a shlichi l'tumah even by cholin. Again, Rabbi Akiva had used his drasha from the word yitma, meaning yitama, that the scenario the pasuk gives us is where a sheretz falls into the airspace of a kli cheres, making the kli itself a rishon and the food in it a sheni. And the pasuk says on it yitma, it is that which Rabbi Akiva understands to be yitame, it can be metame something else, which means therefore he says that the food inside that container is able to be metame other food. So Rabbi Akiva holds that with cholin you have such a thing as a shlishi. We're going to see from the following discussion that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, Amar Rabbi Yossi, minayin l'ravi b'kodesh shu posel. How do we know that a ravi l'tumah is posel by kodesh? Posel, as we said before, means it's not quite the same thing as tameh. Well, it is tameh. It means you can't eat it, but it means can't be metameh the next thing, because as we've said before, there's no such thing as a chamishi l'tumah when it comes to kodeshim. So how do we know that a revi, how do we know that when it comes to kodshim, though, a revi is tame? So the answer is vidinhu. We can make a kabachoymer. Now we have to remember there are certain kinds of tmeim who go through several stages in their tahara. A zav, a zava, a yeledes, a mitzora, all of them go through stages. They have a stage where they have severe tuma, where they themselves are an avatuma. We have a stage after they go to the mikveh, or in the case of a yeledes, after her 40 or 80 days, whatever. Then you have a stage where they've toiveled. They've toiveled. They haven't yet had a head of shemesh. At that point, having toiveled, they're allowed to eat maaser sheni. They're not allowed to eat truma until head of shemesh, until nightfall. Then you have these ones who need a korban as well. The din is that night they're able to eat truma, but they're still not able to eat kodshim or to go into the Ezra Sisrael of the Bez Mikdash until they've brought their korbanos. So now let's consider then, says Rabbi Yossi. a mechosik kippurim, for example, a zov or yeledes who haven't yet brought their korban, shemutar betruma, at that point, having already toveled in the mikveh and having had head of shemesh, they're mutar to eat truma, yet posel, or really posel, bakodesh, or osur bakodesh, Rashi says, they pasel kodesh if they touch it, and they're osur to eat kodesh, they're osur to eat kodeshim until they bring their korbanos. So then shlishi shapasal batruma. Then if a shlishi latruma is possible by truma, ain't a din shiyasir viba kodesh, how much more so than that kodesh should be more stringent and that kodesh therefore should be more stringent and we should say therefore that you have a revi in it. So therefore, levelamanu shlishi b'kodesh min haTorah uRevi mikav haChomer. Now, what we actually do is we learn that a shlishi is tomei in the first place by kodeshim. That we actually learn from the Torah. Meaning, Rashi says, if we needed a kav haChomer to learn shlishi, and then we needed another kav haChomer from that to learn Revi, that would be a problem because we would say daya levomen adin. Then, actually, no. What Rashi says is this. Now you can ask on the kav haChomer that we just said. You just said a kav haChomer that if tvul yom is no good for kodshim, how much more so that a shlishi should make them tomei, should make them a revi. The problem is what happened to dayoi. We said yesterday you have a concept called daya levomen adin lias kenodin. You can't learn out something from a kav haChomer and make it stronger than what you're learning from. So if you want to learn revi, if you want to learn kodshim from truma, how are you going to do that? Don't you have dayoi? So Rashi says we're going over here according to the opinions that say that where you wouldn't say dayoi if without it you don't have a kav haChomer at all. Here, if you don't do that, you don't have a kav haChomer at all, because what are you going to say? That kodshim is also shlishi? We know already shlishi is by truma. There's no reason to think that kodshim should be any weaker. That's Rashi. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that no, we could even according to the opinions who say that you would apply dayoi in this case, would still say that you can learn shlishi in a different way. You can learn it by a mamatzinu. You can learn it by a binyan av rather than a kav haChomer. Anyway, continues Rabbi Yossi. V'lamanu shlishi b'kodesh min haTorah. The concept, therefore, that shlishi b'kodesh is tomei. That we learn Minat Torah. Again, we're not, according to Rashi, we're not saying dayoi because without it you don't have a kav haChomer. According to Tosfos, we're not saying dayoi because we don't really need a kav haChomer in the first place. We can learn it using a binyan av. Or revi mikav haChomer, and therefore we need to, in order to learn revi, for that we need the kav haChomer that we just said from a mechosik kippurim. Shlishi Minat Torah. How do we know that a shlishi l'tumah is tomei when it comes to kodshim Minat Torah? Dichtiv v'habosar asher yigah b'chol tomei lo ya'ochol. The pasuk says any meat of korbanos that touches anything tomei should not be eaten, may not be eaten. Now, what do we mean? Anything that's tomei mi lo yaskin and denaga b'sheni. The pasuk could equally well be calling about where it touched a sheni, and if it touched a sheni, it became a shlishi. After all, things that are sheni are called tomei in the pasuk, as we had before about the case where the sheretz falls into the keli and makes the keli a rishon, and the food in it is called tomei. And we said the pasuk said on the food in it yitma, it becomes tomei. Even if we don't use Rabbi Akiva's drasha about yitama, it still means that the food in there is called tomei. So therefore, if now the pasuk is saying that if meat of a korban touches any tomei, then it cannot be eaten, that means that it includes a sheni as well. So we see from that pasuk alone that there can be such a thing as a shlishi latruma when it comes to korbanos. Then to say that there's a revi, for that we need the kav haChomer that we just said from mechosik kippurim. So revi, a kav haChomer kedamrin, and as we said, we learn the revi from a kav haChomer. Now, thus far is what Rabbi Yossi is saying. So in short, Rabbi Yossi is telling us that when it comes to truma, we go up to shlishi, and by a kav haChomer, when it comes to truma, we go up to shlishi because when a tvul yoim touches truma, they're going to make it a shlishi. A mechosik kippurim is beyond that. So a mechosik kippurim is already all they're not able to do is eat kodshim. They're allowed to eat truma. Why? Because in effect they're a shlishi latruma. If they were to touch the truma, they're only making it a revi, and that's not a problem because there's no such thing as revi by truma. So we see, therefore, that he says that that truma it goes only to shlishi, and kodshim we said by his kal v'chomer he learned. So as far as kodshim, shlishi he learns from a pasuk, revi he then learns from a kal v'chomer with truma and mechosa kippurim. Now the isak daidach sava k'rabba kiva. If you were to say that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Akiva and darshins the word yitma in all cases as yitama, then nisni nami revi b'truma v'chamishi b'kodesh. Then Rabbi Yossi would have to say that actually you could end up saying that there's such a thing as a revi by truma and a chamishi by kodeshim. Namely, we would use the same mechanism. We would say Rabbi Akiva holds that there's shlishi by cholin. So therefore, we would say by truma. Therefore, we would use a kal v'chomer to say that a tvul yoim is mutter to eat cholin, even though he would make it a shlishi. But he's possible by truma. So then a shlishi, which is already possible by cholin, certainly should make a revi by truma. So that would give us a revi in truma. And again, you wouldn't say dayoy because then you don't have a kal v'chomer at all. And then when it comes to kodshim, then we would use the same mechanism to get a chamishi. Now Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold there's such a thing as revi by truma or chamishi by kodshim. Necessarily, therefore, we have to say that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, even though he uses Rabbi Akiva's drosha of yitma, meaning yitama. He doesn't apply it across the board. In particular, he doesn't apply it to say that there should be such a thing as shlishi by cholin. So therefore, like according to him, like almost everybody else, there's only up to sheni in cholin. Therefore, we can learn shlishi in truma from the case of the tvul yom, and then we can learn revi in kodshim from the kal v'chomer from that and mechosa kippurim. So that takes care of that then. Fine. So we see that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva across the board. But how do you know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi had just said this kal v'chomer to tell us that to tell us that kodshim in particular go two levels beyond cholin. So how do you know Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of that? Rabbi Akiva, who says that you can go up to shlishi and cholin, maybe he does hold those sort of things as revi when it comes to truma and chamishi when it comes to kodshim. The answer is omale. So Rav Kahana answers Rav Ashi, deloy lishtimit tana, because we never find no place where a tana forget to mention the listni revi b'truma v'chamishi b'kodesh, that he should ever mention those sort of thing as a revi by truma or chamishi by kodesh, the name of Rav Akiva he, and then we would say that that's according to Rav Akiva. No place in all of Shas do we have such an opinion, do we have a Mishnah or a Braisa or anything that says that anybody holds that there's revi by truma and chamishi by kodesh, which then we could attribute to Rabbi Akiva. The fact that we don't find such a thing implies that it doesn't exist. So, why? So now there's a long Rashi over here that touches on many different aspects of our sugya. One thing Rashi mentions over here is like this. There's a Gemara in Sota. So the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that we quoted yesterday about Yitma Yitama is in a Mishnah in Sota. The Mishnah describes over there various things that the Chachamim taught Bo Bayom, and one of them is the statement of Rabbi Akiva. So what's going on over there? The Mishnah mentions over there that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was concerned that there's going to come a Dur Achra, and there's going to come a future generation and is going to think that there's no such thing as a Shlishi even by Turma. So then Rabbi Akiva goes and brings his limud from Yitma Yitama that not only there is a shlishi by truma, but there is even a shlishi by cholin. So the Gemara explains over there. So what's Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai concerned about? He's concerned that if you're only learning a shlishi by a kal v'chomer, then we can slug up the kal v'chomer. So Rabbi Akiva agrees with that. With that upslug to the potential kal v'chomer, therefore he says, fine. When we say that there's a shlishi by cholin, he says that we can't use a kal v'chomer to say that you should have one level higher when it comes to truma. The kal v'chomer that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai is concerned that a future generation may say doesn't work because there's a pircha to it. Because after all, what you're trying to learn from a Tevul Yoim, but a Tevul Yoim himself is he is an Ava Tuma. He himself is a source of Tuma. So Rabbi Akiva agrees with that. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, fine. As far as Cholin, we have Shlishi based on the word Yitma means Yitama. As far as Truma, Truma is no stronger than Cholin in that. Truma, you also only go to Shlishi. Therefore, Kodshim, and Kodshim, then we use, then Kodshim, we say that then Kodshim, he's learning from the same pasuk that we just said at the top of the Amud, V'abosar sheyiga b'chol tomei, where according to him, tomei can mean shlishi as well, because we just said according to him, even by cholin you can have tomei, you can have shlishi. Therefore, according to him, you get revi by Kodshim that way. So he doesn't have to use if he used Rabbi Yossi's kal v'chomer, then he would end up saying revi and chamishi respectively. So Tevul Yoim, even after he goes to the mikvah, we're saying, the Gemara is saying over there that the, maybe it doesn't mean he's an Ava Tumah right now, but at one point he was an Ava Tumah. Okay, fine, but the point still remains, you could slog up any Kal V'Chomer that you tried to make for Tevul Yoim. You would say Tevul Yoim is allowed to eat Chulin, whether he's not Matame Chulin, but he's not allowed to, but he's Matame Tumah. So you should say on the whole, all the more so then that you would say all the more so then that therefore that Tumah, there's such a thing as Shlishi, that it goes one level beyond Chulin. But again, you could slog up that Kal V'Chomer because you could say the Tevul Yoim at one time was an Ava Tumah. It's not really a proof from food and drink that themselves were never an Ava Tumah. So again, Rabbi Akiva agrees with that. He only in the Mishnah over there again, Rabbi Akiva says there is such a thing as shlishi based on yitmo yitama, and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah over there is very impressed, and he says Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai, you see, you have nothing to worry about. Rabbi Akiva is finding a posik that there's such a thing as shlishi even by cholin, but nevertheless, though, the point is, the Kal V'Chomer that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned that a future generation might reject to say that, therefore there's no such thing as Shlishi by Truma, Rabbi Akiva agrees with that rejection. He's just finding Shlishi and Truma a different way. So therefore, applying that to our Gemara over here, if then having said that there's a shlishi by cholin, he were then to use Rabbi Yossi's limudim and Kal V'Chomers over here, then he would end up that truma has to be one level more, so revi, kodshim have to be two levels more, so chamishi, and we don't find any place, any braisa or any mishnah that says such a thing. Okay. Rashi then goes on into a long discussion about various aspects of our sugya. One thing Rashi points out is also we have to figure out then how do you even get to Revi in the first place on a Daraisa level. Remember, we've been saying that the fact that Mashkim or Matame other things is not necessarily Daraisa. So therefore, but Rabbi Akiva is one of the ones who says that it does. Therefore, we can work at it like this. The sheretz makes the keli a rishon. The keli touches food, which becomes a sheni. The food touches liquids, which become a shlishi. The liquids touch food, which then becomes a revi. There's no other way to make it work because there's no other way to make it work. Then Rashi goes on to say that on the other hand, according to Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, we're saying over here in our Gemara that Rabbi Yossi holds this, that Mashkim, Amatame, other things, is only Dirabanan. We're saying Rabbi Akiva is one of the ones who holds it's Daraisa. But Rabbi Yossi, in the end, we're saying over here, Rabbi Yossi, even though he uses Rabbi Akiva's limud for a particular purpose, he doesn't hold it across the board. Therefore, he says that in general, Mashkim, Amatame, other things, is only Dirabanan. So therefore, according to him, there's no way to reach Revi anyway. Because even if you have a sheretz touches a keli makes it a rishon, which touches food which becomes a sheni, a mashke which becomes a shlishi, and it stops there because the mashke can't be matame anything on a daraisa level. And of course, if the keli touched a mashke, then even more so, then it stops right there at sheni. So there's no way to reach a revi, says Rashi, according to Rabbi Yossi and according to the other opinions who say that tumas mashke that mashke or matame other things only derabanan. Therefore, necessarily, according to Rabbi Yossi, we have to say the whole concept of Revi by Kodshim is only Dirabanan, says Rashi. Tosfos disagrees with that. Rashi brings another proof for it. Also, anyway, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says that actually there are ways There is something that we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, something called Chibas HaKodesh, where you have the fact that something belongs to, the fact that something is used for Kodshim, that it's going to be used on the Mizbeach, itself gives it a certain Chashivus and makes it able to become Tomei, even if it's not food. For example, the wood that's burned on the Mizbeach. The din of Chibas HaKodesh makes it as if it's food, and therefore that it can become Tomei. So you have a scenario therefore where you could reach Revi using Chibas HaKodesh even according to the Yosi. Rashi himself disagrees with that because he says the whole concept of Chibas HaKodesh itself is only Dirabonan. That we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara. We have a pasuk for it maybe, but is it a real limud or is it only an asmachta? Chibas means the preciousness, but it means, in other words, the fact that something, Meloshon Chiba, the fact that something is used for Kodshim itself gives it a certain chashivus and makes it that's able to become Tomei, even if it's not actually food. So that's the thing. According to Rashi, it seems that it would be only on a Dirabonan level. Therefore, there's no way, according to Rabbi Yossi, if we say that Mashkim are not able to mimetame other things Daraisa, then there's no way to reach a Revi Bakodesh anyway. Necessarily, it has to be Dirabonan. According to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Mashkim are able to mimetame other things Daraisa, then you could, because you could have the Sheretz touches a Keli, which touches food, which touches Mashkim, which touches food. Without having to resort to Chibas HaKodesh. One last thing Rashi points out is that we're still in the middle of a sugya. We kind of digressed from one thing to another, but we're still dealing with what we said in the Mishnah, where Reb Meir had tried to prove that you can burn Truma Tahora with Truma Tmeya on Erev Pesach, and Reb Yossi had said Einahi Hamida. It's not a valid comparison. So we were saying, why is it not a valid comparison? Because that's what got us into this whole discussion of Tumas Mashkin, that we're talking about in Reb Chanina Sgan HaKohenim at the beginning of our Mishnah, when he said that you can burn together Kodshim that are Tomei, that are more Tomei, with Kodshim that are less Tomei. So we said the less Tomei ones, the ones that were Nitma Bevlada Tumah, were Tomei through a liquid. And therefore, we have the Machloikas, Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, about whether such a thing is Tomei and Daraisa or not. Now, if we're saying that Rabbi Yossi says the whole concept of Tumas Mashkin is Dirabanan, and it's only he's saying Rabbi Akiva would hold its Daraisa, but he himself disagrees, then you're back to why does Rabbi Yossi disagree with Rabbi Meir? It should be a valid comparison. There you have meat, which was Tomei Daraisa, together with meat, which was Tomei Dirabanan, because it's only Tomei from Mashkin, and Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohenim allows us to burn them together. By the same token, Erev Pesach, once chametz is also Dirabanan, why don't we say the same thing? You can burn the chametz together with the other chametz because it's all also Dirabanan anyway. So Rashi says, you're right, actually. When Rabbi Yossi says Eina hi hamida, he doesn't mean he himself says I myself might agree with that. But you should know Rabbi Akiva, who we're quoting over here, would disagree with that because he says Mashkim amatame other things daraisa. So he's not mentioning in the Mishnah also. He's just like in the Braisa on Daf Tes Zayin, he's not saying his own opinion about Mashkim being matame other things. He's saying the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Now from our Gemara we see he disagrees and holds more like Rabbi Meir. The same thing in our Mishnah. The same thing when he says Eina hi hamida, he would say Rabbi Meir, I myself might agree with you, but you should know that Akiva disagrees with you. Okay. So that's the thing. So Chibas HaKodesh, that's the thing. We're saying the Gemara itself is going to mention, well, no, the Gemara itself is going to talk, the Gemara is going to talk about something else rather, but no. Chibas HaKodesh, that's the thing. Tosfos apparently is learning that Chibas HaKodesh is Daraisa. This, that for example, the wood or the coals or whatever are able to become Tomei is something Daraisa. Therefore, according to Tosfos, you're able to have, let's say like this. So the sheretz fell into a kli cheres containing food. That food touched, let's say, coals of kodshim, coals from the mizbeach, and made them a sheni. The coals touched other food, made it a shlishi. The food touched a drink and made it revi. And there you go. You have a revi on a daraisa level, even according to the Yossi. Whereas Rashi, who holds that Chibas HaKodesh is Dirabanan, he would say, very well, that gives you a Revi HaKodesh Dirabanan. There's still no way of reaching it daraisa, because whenever you reach mashkim, that's the end of the chain. Getting back to the Gemara. No, so we said before, Daraisa. Okay, so one second. There is also at the very beginning of this whole sugya on Daf Yadalid, we had three different opinions of Amiroyim on the subject of whether food can be metame food and drinks can be metame drinks for any purpose whatsoever. Everybody agrees that by cholin, on a Daraisa, foods can only be metame drinks and drinks can only be metame food. We discussed that yesterday in the Gemara. We had the opinions of Abaya and of Rav Ada Ba'ava, who said that maybe Truma and Kodshim are different. So here, fine, we're talking about Kodshim. If we hold like one of those opinions, then fine, it's easy enough to find a Revi Bakodesh even according to WAC, because fine, then you can have food be matame food, which is matame other food, and then you have liquids at the end of the chain, and even Rabbi Yossi would agree to that. But if we hold like Ravina, that no matter what, across the board, by Chulin, by Truma, by Kodshim, always Daraisa, food is only matame drinks, and drinks are only matame food, if we say like that, then the result is that according to Rabbi Yossi, you only have a Ravi would be Darabanan, because there'd be no way to reach it Daraisa, even by Kodshim. Okay, continues the Gemara. So now, again, so we said, that how do we know that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? Because if he agreed with Rabbi Yossi and used his Kal v'Chomer, then you'd end up with that there would be that he'd hold Revi by Truma and Chamishi by Kodshim, and we never find any Mishnah or Braisa that says so. However, the Gemara asks, "Vanana hochi nekum v'nismach? What are we supposed to rely on such a thing? Al derech like loyro inu en iraya? Just because we didn't find a Mishnah or a Braisa like that doesn't show anything. Maybe there is some Braisa out there where it actually says Revi and Chamishi. So why are you saying as a given that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? So instead, Nofek Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi went out of the Beis Medrash, the Itamer of Kahana, or some say that his Rebbe, Rav Kahana, went out, docked and he checked into it, looking at all the Mishnayos and Braises that they could find. But Ashkach, and sure enough, he found a Mishnah that says pretty explicitly that Rabbi Akiva, as we're going to see, that Rabbi Akiva does not hold a Ravi and Chamish. So once we have that, then it's clear that Rabbi Akiva has to be disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi. We learn in a Mishnah in Chagiga. The last section of Masechta Chagiga deals also with dinim of Tumah V'Tahara in some depth and rather complicated. So the Mishnah says, "Hakli mitzaref es masha b'seicha l'kodesh." Now the Mishnah is mentioning over there a bunch of dinim that apply specifically to Kodshim. Many of them are called they're called milos. Many of these things are only derabanan. Some of them, as we're going to see, some of them might be daraisa. But one of them is Hakli Mitzaref Es Masha B'Seicha L'Kodesh. A keli combines together whatever is in it as far as Kodshim, Avot Loy L'Truma, but not for Truma. meaning, let's say, for example, Rashi describes, let's say you have a long, narrow container and you have a piece of Kodshim food at one end of it and another piece further down, so they're not touching each other. Now, by Truma or anything else, what we would say is, what would happen if a Sheretz touches this Keli? So then, the Keli itself, the Keli itself is going to become a Rishon. What happens, if a Sheretz touches the food at one end? So that food is going to become a rishon. Usually we would say that nothing happens to the other food. The other food is not touching it at all. And the keli itself didn't become tameh. And the food at one end can't be metame the keli. We established before that foods are not metame kelim. Therefore, the food at the other end is perfectly fine. On the other hand, what we're saying is there's this concept of tsiruf when it comes to kodesh. That when it comes to kodeshim, we consider as though all the food in the tray was all touching each other. Therefore, it all becomes tameh. So that's only by Kodesh. This is one of the milos. This is one of the Mishnah mentions over there, 11 milos that apply to Kodesh over Truma. This is one of them. So that's one. And another one continues the Mishnah. V'harvi b'kodesh posel v'ashlishi b'truma. Another mila is that when it comes to Kodeshim, you can go as far as Revi. And when it comes to Truma, you go only as far as Shlishi. And This Mishnah was composed based on Rabbi Akiva's Edus, namely Ditanya, or Ditnan really, it's a Mishnah in Edius. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added to his Edus. Now There's a previous Eidos in that Mishnah about dinim involving Kodshim. And then Rabbi Akiva continues, Hasolus, the flower of Menachos, Evaktotis and Evaktotis, Valavoina and the Lavoina that's brought together with the Lechem Aponim, and that's brought on Menachos, Vagecholim and coals. All of those things are all of those. None of those things are, well, except for Solus. Most of those things are not food, but nevertheless, Shimnogat Tvul Yoim Mitzas and Posolus Kolon. That if a Tvul Yoim touches some of it, then all of it becomes Tomei. Meaning, in other words, now, so again, the earlier in that Mishnah, it's talking about dinim involving a tvul yoim touching things. And then Rabbi Akiva adds that if a tvul yoim, let's say, touches some of the ketodas, then he passels all of it. Now, even though, now, if you didn't have this mila, what would you say? You would say the grains themselves that he touched, fine, he passels. Maybe then the grains next to those, because fine, those become a revi, let's say. But that's it. It would stop there. You don't go as far as chamishi and shishi and shvi and so forth. The fact that we say that all of the ketores becomes possible, that's the concept of tziruf. So we see, nevertheless, still the first Mishnah that we quoted still says Revi Ein. It says there's a Revi Bakodesh, Chamishi Loi. It still doesn't say that there's Chamishi, Shlishi Ein, and by Truma it says and by Truma it says it only goes as far as Shlishi, Revi Loi. So we see clearly from that. So we see clearly from that Rabbi Akiva does not hold of Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Akiva does not hold of Rabbi Yossi's Kal v'Chomer. Otherwise, as we said in the Gemara before, he would have to say that there's Revi by Truma and Chamishi by Kodshim. So before we were saying because you don't find any Mishnah or Braisa that says the other way. But we said that's a weak proof. Now we're saying we have a solid proof from this Mishnah in Chagiga that Rabbi Akiva himself agrees that you only go as far as Shlishi and Revi respectively. Which means, therefore, that he does not accept Rabbi Yossi's Kal v'Chomer. And therefore, that's what brings us to say that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Alma kasavar tziruf derabanan. Now we see from that in turn that since Rabbi Yochanan is saying that now again, the first part of the Mishnah, the first thing that we said about haklim tzarif, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that is based on Rabbi Akiva's shita. That Rabbi Akiva gave edus about noga b'ktsas and posolas kulon, and from that we're deriving the concept of tziruf. That means, in other words, that means we're talking all dirabonon. This that we're talking about, that if a tvul yom touches some of it, he passels all of it, is something dirabonon. And the concept of tziruf, which we're deriving from that, is also dirabonon. The concept of tziruf kli, that everything that's in the keli is considered as one unit, is only dirabonon. In which case, a pliga dirabchanin, which means, therefore, that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying disagrees with what Rabbi Chanan says. Da'amar tziruf da'oraisa. Rabbi Chanan says that the concept of tziruf kli is actually da'oraisa. Namely, in other words, again, according to Rabbi Chanan, if you had the scenario that we had, a long, narrow tray and different pieces of food in different places of it, this that we're saying that if a tvul yom or a tumah or whatever touches one of them, it makes all of them tumah or posel, Rabbi Chanan would say that concept is da'oraisa, even though they're not touching each other. Why? Because they're all in one keli, and because they're kodshim. Shenemar, as we have by the korbanos of the Nesiim, very much as man groma, we're going to be reading this for 8 days in a row, beginning tomorrow. Kaf achas asara zahav maleik teres. One spoonful of the weight of 10 shekel of gold full of ketores. So why are we stressing full of ketores? Why are we stressing the word achas rather? Just say kaf asarazav. We know obviously kaf means one. It means a kos of osa kol mashav a kaf achas. It means the posik in effect is making everything inside the spoon, all of the ketores that's in the spoon, as if it was one unit. It's not very large. It's true, but it still is the same concept. In other words. Well, no, of course it is. You say it's still. I mean, the spoon weighs 10 shekels. It means it weighs 10 shekels is about 8 ounces or so. So fine, it's not a large spoon. It may maybe be the size of a ladle or something. But whatever, it's perfectly possible for something tomei or tvul yom or whatever to touch the ketores in one part of it and not all of it. And yet the pasuk is implying that all of it is achas, all of it is one unit. So therefore, we see, says Reb Chanan, that the concept of tziruf is daraisa. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say that that's only an asmachta. Okay, so now we're going to start. A new discussion, which is going to circle back to the mat. So now we've reached a stopping point. We've shown that we've gone through all the opinions of the Tanoim in the Braisa and Daf Tes Zayin about Tumas Mashkin. We said that we have We have Reb Meir saying that we have like this. We had an opinion that Mashkim are able to become Tomei themselves only Dirabanan. That was Yosi ben Yezer's Eidos about Mashke Beis Mikbachaya, that it must be Dirabanan, because otherwise, how could the Chachamim carve out an exception to something Daraisa? We said, although Rav Papa had said not necessarily, maybe it's Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, and the same Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai has an exception for Mashke Beis Mikbachaya. Then we had Reb Meir saying that fine, they're tamei themselves, daraisa, but to be metamei other anything else, foods or drinks or kalim, is only dirabanan. We had Reb Yosi and Reb Shimon saying that to be metamei other things, to be metamei other foods is daraisa. To be metamei kalim is only dirabanan. And we just finished saying that Reb Yosi himself doesn't agree with that. He's saying only according to Rabbi Akiva's shita. He himself disagrees with that. We didn't say anything about Reb Shimon. So Bapashtus, I guess we would say Reb Shimon himself holds that way himself. And then we had Reb Yehuda, who originally said that Mashkim are actually metamei kalim on a daraisa level, but then he changed his mind, and we're not sure what he changed his mind to. Did he accept Reb Meir's opinion or Reb Shimon's opinion? Okay, so now we're going to start a new discussion, which is going to, we're also going to be discussing a kula in the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara that we have in the Bismik. That's just like Yosi ben Yezer's Mashke Beis Mikbachaya, which is a kula for the Bismik. And also, eventually, we're going to mention Mashke Beis Mikbachaya in this connection as well. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah, in another Mishnah in Adius, that it says over there, Reb Chanina Sgana Koyanim had given Eidos. Besides the Eidos he gave in our Mishnah about burning Kodshim together, that are Avatuma Vladatuma, he gave other Eidos, Al Machat Shenimtis Bebosser, if they found a needle in the flesh of an animal, so they're cutting up an animal for a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, and they find the needle in it, Shasakin by Yadayim Tehoros, the din will be the knife that you're using to cut up the animal, and the hands of the Kohen who's working on it are tohoros, v'abosar tamei, but the meat of the flesh of the animal is tamei from having touched the needle. So that's what we're going to have to discuss. What's the story with this needle? Why is it tamei in the first place? And on the other hand, nimtzes beperesh hakol tahor. On the other hand, if you find the needle in the waist of the animal, even though the waist is inside the stomach, nevertheless, hakol tahor, everything is tahor, because it didn't necessarily touch the flesh of the animal after it was shechted. That point about the perish, we're going to deal with tomorrow on Daf Chaf, but right now we're going to focus on the first part where we're saying the knife and the Kohen's hands are Tahor and the meat is Tomei. Now, the question is, the meat itself is, if we're saying the meat itself is Tomei, shouldn't it be Metame, the Kohen's hands, Dirabanan? Because a person touches anything that's Tomei, then Dirabanan, their hands become Tomei. So, So Rabbi Akiva says, therefore, it means we have a schus, we have an advantage that the Chachamim granted us, that in the Beis HaMikdash there's no such thing as Tumas Yodayim. The whole concept that your hands become Tomei, Dirabanan, when you touch certain things that are Tomei, in particular, in this case, the meat of the animal, which is Tomei, and you're going to touch it, and then Midrabanan, usually that should make your hands Tomei, that doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, because again, the Chachamim did not want to make it that Kodshim should become Tomei unnecessarily. No, a Tevuyim Kohen is not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. No, he's not allowed to. But no, we're not saying if he did. We're talking about that. We're talking about Tumas Yadayim. We're talking about Tumah, which is strictly Dirabanan. For example, you have the concept that if a person touches food, which is anything down to and including a sheni, then his hands become a sheni l'truma. You have also, there's a number of things in the Yud Ches Davar about this. You have, for example, a person touches a Sefer Torah, his hands become a sheni, and so forth. So all of those things, Rabbi Akiva is telling us, we see from this Mishnah, don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Unless if the person touches something that's metame a person, obviously then he becomes tame, daraisa. There's nothing to talk about. Then it's not just his hands, then it's his whole body. But here where this needle and this flesh over here is not able to be metame a person, as we're going to discuss soon, then therefore they're usually outside the Beis HaMikdash. They'd be metame his hands, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. The Sefer Torah, right? We said in Shabbos because people used to store truma food together with mice, together with svarim, and then the mice would come and eat the truma, and they'd also chew on the svarim. So therefore, yeah, okay. A live mouse is not metame, but the point is, partially the mice were eating and destroying the svarim. So therefore, the Chachamim wanted to discourage that people should store truma together with svarim, and the way to do that was to say that the Sfarim themselves have a degree of Tumah. And then the Chachamim also, on top of that, made a Gzera that if a person touches the Sefer Torah or Kisvei HaKodesh or whatever with his bare hands, that also his hands become Tumah. We learned about it in Shabbos also, the idea is because you're not supposed to touch them with your bare hands, you're supposed to only touch them with the Eitz Chaim or the Talus or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, why is Rabbi Akiva using the expression that there's no Tumas Yadayim HaMikdash? Why doesn't he mention also the fact that there's no, that apparently there's no kalim that are becoming tameh in the Bais HaMikdash? Again, where the tumah is not daraisa, meaning, in other words, that again you have where keli became tameh midrabanan, that keli can be metameh another keli, even though the original keli itself is only a vlada tumah. So again, now up until now, the last couple of blot, we were focusing mostly on daraisa. Now we're focusing on drabanan. So like this, outside the Bais HaMikdash, this needle, which is tame, as we're going to discuss soon why, should be metame, the knife that may have touched it or that very likely touched it. And yet we're saying it's not. Yet Rabbi Chanina is telling us that the knife is tahor as well. So Rabbi Akiva should be saying that we see there's not only not tumas yadayim midrabanan in the Bais HaMikdash, but also not tumas kalim in the Bais HaMikdash. Why is he not mentioning that? The answer is Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav Vitamer Rav Yosi Rav Chanina Yadayim Kodem Gzeiras Kalim Nishnu. Very simple. The Gzeira about that a person's hands become Tomei from certain things is a Gzeira Drabanan that was made before the Gzeira on Kalim. So when this Edus, when Rav Chanina Sgana Kodem gave this Edus, it was between those two Takanas. So the Bakiva doesn't say anything about Tumas Kalim because at that point there wasn't a Gzeira on Tumas Kalim yet. Later on, yeah, after the Gzeira of Tumas Kalim is made, then yeah, it comes out therefore that Rav Chanina's din is saving us from that as well. But at the time, there actually wasn't any. The problem with that is Omar Rava Vatavayo Boiba Yom Gozru. What do you mean? Both of those Gzeiras about hands becoming Tomei and about Kalim being the Tamei other Kalim are both things that they were Gozer Boiba Yom, meaning that usually Boiba Yom and Shas usually means the day that they made Rabbi Elazar ben Azayi the Nasi. But here it actually means that it's part of the Yudches Dover, that's part of the 18 Gzeiras that they all made also in one day, where they went up, as we learned in Shabbos, they went up to the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Goron, and then Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel, and they made these 18 Gzeiras. And both of these things are among the 18, Gzeiras. Ditnan has a sefer Torah, v'haya kisvei kodesh in general, v'haya dayim, a person's hands, stam hands, in other words, if a person touched truma without washing his hands first, v'atvulyoim, and a tvulyoim. Actually, the Gemara says over there, tvulyoim doesn't really belong over here because it's actually daraisa. So the Gemara actually takes it out of this list. It's true that a tvulyoim passes truma, but that's not drabanan like the rest of this list. It's daraisa. V'ha'oichlin. And foods that became tamei, v'hakelim, and v'oichlin v'hakelim shenitmo mamashkin, and food and kelim that became tamei with liquids. Where did Rabbanan again? The liquids are matame, the foods, and so where again? Well, okay, this that they're matame, the foods might be daraisa, but whatever. The fact that the kelim became tamei with mashkin, and in turn is able to pass all the truma, that's Rabbanan. So therefore, so we see, says Rava, that the gzera of Yadayim and the gzera of Yadayim and the Gzeira of Kalim were both made at the same time. So how can you say that Chanina Sgana Koinim's Eidos is between those two things? Actually, Tosfos points out that the original Gzeira of Yadayim was actually made by Shlomo HaMelech, but he made it, the Gemara explains elsewhere that Rabbi Akiva made the Gzeira only as far as when you're going to be eating Kodshim. The fact that we extend it to Truma, and the fact that we extend it to Stam Yadayim, that even you don't know that your hands are Tomei, you just didn't wash them, that should be Pasal Truma, all of that is part of the Yud Ches Dover. So why is Rabbi Akiva saying that the wise Rabbi Akiva saying, good, we see from that that they don't have Tumas Yadayim in the Bais HaMikdash. What about Tumas Kalim? We see the knife is not becoming Tomei either. Elo, Omar Rava, Hanach Tumas Sakin. So Rava says, you know what the answer is? Yes, the Gzeira of Kalim had already been made. That Kalim can become Tomei from Mashkin. So sorry, I said it wrong. Not that one Kali can be directly Mitame the other, but that a Kali that became that a Kali that became Tomei from Mashkin can be Mitame another Kali. That's Dirabanan. But Over here, the situation is, here we can be talking about, there is no mashkim over here. Therefore, even by cholin, even when we don't have a reason to be mako by cholin, we're still not going to say that the meat, because that the knife becomes tameh, because let's consider the needle itself is not an avatoma, as we're going to discuss soon. It's only a vladatoma. So even dirabanan, it's not able to be metame another keli. Only we're saying that if it touches liquid, which and is metame that, then that liquid can be metame another keli. It's not metame directly. The meat, the same thing. The meat doesn't the meat is not able to be metame the keli either, because only liquids can be metame a keli dirabanan. So therefore, there's nothing for the knife to become tame from, period. If we assume there's no mashkim over here. So that, because the Gemara says, hi, sakin the nogam amai. Because after all, what would be making you think that the knife would become tame? That you have to say that Rav Chanina has to tell us that it's not. Ilema the nogam abosser, you're telling me that it touched the meat of the animal. No problem. Ha ein oicha matame kli. Even dirabonon, food is not matame akeli. The ela the nogam machat, are you saying that it touched the needle? Vaha ein kli matame keli. A keli can't be matame another keli directly either. You need mashkim in between. Fine, but maybe you could have the meat. You could have the meat has wetness to it, but not necessarily. In particular, when the machat would have to touch the particular lachluchus, the particular wetness that the machat previously touched. And besides which, also, just because you have wetness in the meat, if the meat was washed with water, then sure you have water over there. But just the natural wetness of the meat is not necessarily going to be machshel the kabel tumah. Yeah. And we said the other day also, we said that mashke beis mitbachaya are not metame. So therefore, yeah. Actually, Tosfos discusses that point and says that Rabbi Akiva anyway might be disagreeing with the mashke beis mitbachaya business, because again, that was only if we said that tumas that mashkim matame other things only did abbanon, and Rabbi Akiva holds that's daraisa. So therefore, there can't be an exception for mashke beis mitbachaya. According to the Papa, there could, because according to the Papa, we said that the concept of mashkim mitame other things is halacha l'moshe misinai, and halacha l'moshe misinai can have exceptions. Yeah. Okay. So fine. So that explains why Rabbi Akiva is not bothering to mention that there's no gzeiras kalim in the Beis Mikdash, because really this knife wouldn't have anything to become tamei from in the first place. So now let's figure out hai machat mayavidde. What's the deal with this needle? Why is the needle tame in the first place? E name a suffic machat. Are you talking about that? We're saying that it's matame the flesh of the animal. Why is it matame the flesh, the meat of the animal? E name a suffic machat. You're going to say because it's stama needle that was found. We don't know whether it's tame or tahar. Well then, v'ha itmar, but we know there was a following discussion. Rabbi Lozav, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Chad Omer, one of them says, like Gozer al Safik HaRukin Shabi Yishlayim. One of them says, now usually the Chachamim made a gzera that if you find saliva on the ground or something, then it's metamim, it's Safik, because it might be saliva from a Zav. But one of them says the Chachamim did not impose that din in Yerushalayim. And the other one says that it makes a gzera about suffolk kalim in Yerushalayim. Again, usually you would say that if you find a kalim and you don't know whether it's tamei or tahor, you would have to treat it as tamei misuffolk. But in Yerushalayim, he's saying they didn't make that gzera. If you find a kalim, then you can then you're able to assume it's tahor. Both of the reasons are because in Yerushalayim, they're more careful about dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, obviously, because you have the Beis Mikdash and you have Kodshim and everything over there, and therefore you're not going to stam leave saliva of a Zav or Kalim that are Tommy lying around. There's more traffic. We're going to talk about that point soon. But anyway, the point is that if we're saying we're not Gozer on Suffolk Kalim Yerushalayim, then why should we be concerned about this needle if it's just Suffolk Kalim? So the answer is Amrav Yehuda Amrav, Gugunsha Avdalai Machat Tome Mes Vehikira. The case we're talking about over here is you lost a needle, which is an avatuma. The needle touched the needle touched a mess, and Cherav Hareu Kecholol. So therefore, so the needle itself that you know you lost is an avatuma. And now when you're cutting open the animal, you discover, hey, I recognize that needle. That's the same needle I lost. Well, then it's an avatuma. Now, of course, the question is going to be, in that case, it should be Matame the knife that it touches, because it's an avatoma, it can be metame another keli, and it should be metame the person. Why do we say how you're dying by sakin to hoden? We'll get back to that point soon. So that's one answer. Rabbi Yosi of an Omar, Gugan Chahoisa Pora Chasuma Uva Michutz Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosi of an gives a different answer. You could be talking about where the cow was muzzled from before they brought it into Yerushalayim. So when would it have had to swallow this needle? Obviously, someplace outside Yerushalayim. Outside Yerushalayim, Suffolk, Kalim, or Tomim, is Suffolk. So that's it. So now when you cut open the animal and you find the needle, you know that this needle came from outside Yerushalayim. Yeah, if there's a possibility that it picked it up and ate it in Yerushalayim, then you would say that we're not gozer on Kalim and Mitzrayim. But here, where it came from outside, then yeah. Okay. Gufa. So now let's get back to that discussion. So Davka, so that's the second answer. If it was muzzled since before it entered Yerushalayim, then you know this needle came from someplace else. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need that. You could be talking about where he recognized that it's a needle that he lost, which is an avatoma. So that's okay. So the Gemara says Gufa. Getting back to, well, it's small, but it's still recognizable. The whole basso, yeah, but Bashas becomes up. Yeah, because the basso is attached. So it's all, yeah. Okay, the Gemara says Gufa. Getting back to what we said, Rabbi Lozav, Rabbi Yosef of Chanina, Chad Omer like Gozwal Sofik Arukin Shibishlaim. One of them tells us that if you find saliva in your shalim, you don't have to assume it's Tomei. The other one says the same thing as far as Kalim. If you find a Kali in your shalim, you can assume it's Tahor. So the question is, why they're Amiroim? Why do they need to tell us something that we learn in a Mishnah? The question is, Rukin Tanena, Kalim Tanena. Both about saliva and about Kalim, we have Mishnayas. That we have Mishnayos that teach us those dinim. Rukin Tanena, we have a Mishnah in Shkolim, which we'll be learning in a few months, Bez Hashem, that tells us the din about Rukin. It says, Kola Rukin and Insoim B'Yishalayim Tahorin. Any saliva that you find anywhere in your Shalayim is Tahor. Chutz Mishel Shuka Elyon, except for the saliva in the upper marketplace, because the upper marketplace of your Shalayim was a place where Zovim would hang out. So therefore, in the rest of Yerushalayim, you don't have to worry about it, but there you would, because there's a much higher likelihood that it came from a Zob. You actually have another opinion in the Mishnah over there that says that it depends whether it's in the middle of the street or the side of the street, but whatever, in places where we don't have to assume that Zovim are walking, then we're able to consider it Tahor. So what is Rabbi Lozo or Rabbi Yosef of Chanina adding over that Mishnah? The answer is loy tzricha afgav de chazik zov. Yes, but their chiddush is even where we know there's a chazaka, we actually saw a zov walking through the street, and later on we found saliva over there. That we wouldn't know from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying stam. If you don't know whether a zov walked by, then except in shuka elyon, you don't need to worry about it. But now Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yosef Chanina is telling us going beyond that. Even if you saw a zov walk down the street over here, and later on you find saliva, you don't have to worry that it might be his. Okay. So that's one. What about Kalim Tanena? What about about Kalim? We also have a Mishnah, also in Shkolim over there. Kola Kalim and Mitzoyim B'Yerushalayim, Derech Yerida Leves HaTevila. Any Kalim that you find in your Yerushalayim that are on the way down to the Beis HaTevila, on the street or whatever that leads down to the mikveh, tmein, then they're Tomei, implying Hoda Alma Tahor, meaning if you find them anywhere else in your Yerushalayim, you can assume they're Tahor. So again, we see that any kalim that you find in your shalayim, except where they're near the mikveh and obviously on the way there to be tovel, then the person dropped them, are tahor. So what is Rabbi Lazar or Rabbi Yosef Chanina adding to that? So the Gemara says, "V'li taimech nu," and according to your svara that you're even asking the question, "Ema sefer." Look at the next part of the Mishnah, "Derech aliyah tahorin." The Mishnah continues that if you find them on the way out of the mikveh, then they're tahor, because then you can assume the person tovel them and then drop them. What would that imply? Hada alma tmein. So what would that imply? In general, kalim that you find in your shalayim are tomei, and here it's okay only because it's derech aliyah. Ela reisha davka. So we have to say the reisha of the Mishnah is meant bedavka. It means only if you find it derech yirida is it tomei. Otherwise, it's tahor. The sefer lav davka. The sefer is not meant to limit it only to things that you find derech aliyah. But the point is ola puki gaziyosa. All the sefer is telling us. Is that if you have these little alleyways that are near the Derech Yerid of Aliyah, and sometimes people go in and out through those alleyways, then you would say Tomei Misafet, because then you don't know whether it was dropped on the way down to the mikveh or the way up. But in general, throughout the rest of Yerushalayim, nowhere near the mikvahs, then you can say that any keli that you find is tahor. That you wouldn't know from the Mishnah. So that's what Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, is telling us, a detail that you wouldn't have otherwise known from the Mishnah. From the Mishnah itself, you would know that if they're on the way down to the mikveh, they're tamei. If they're on the way up, they're tahor. If you find them in those alleyways near the mikveh, then also they're tamei misafik. The rest of the city you wouldn't know. Comes Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, and tells us that they're tahor. Okay. So on the side streets, not what we're saying, but anywhere else in Yerushalayim where it's not in the side streets and it's not near the mikvahs, then we would say it's tahor. Yeah. Okay. So now getting back to Ulur Rav. So now, according to Rav's explanation, we said Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rav that the case of the needle that you found inside the cow that you're cutting up as a korban is that you lost a needle, which was tamei mes, and then you recognized it. So now it's tamei mes. So the question is, you're saying he lost a needle that's tamei mes, and then he recognized it and found it in the meat. So why are we saying that the person's hands and the knife are not tameh? Given the din that we learned the other day, that cherev harei kacholo, that at least metal kalim, and according to the Rambam, any kalim that touch a mess become tameh, then you should say this needle is an avatoma. It should be able to be metame the person's hands. It should be able to be metame the knife. Why are we saying that not? It should be metame the person, not just his hands. It should be metame his whole body. It should be metame the knife that you're using to cut up the cow. Why are we saying that it's not? Amar Avashi, Zoyse Meres. From this we see Azara Rishus Rabbi. From here we see that the Azara of the Beis Mikdash is considered a Rishus Rabbi as far as Tumah, because people are always coming and going in it. So therefore, that means, and there's only a suffix whether your hands or the knife touch the needle. Therefore, you can't be metame misafik, because v'chol suffix tuma b'rishos rabim sfeik etar. Because anytime you have a suffix tuma, meaning a suffix of whether you touch the tuma or not, if it's in rishos rabim, then you're tar. So therefore, your hands and the knife are tar over here, because they didn't necessarily touch the needle. If they had touched the needle, then yes, they'd be tame. But because it's only a suffix whether they did, and it's b'rishos rabim, therefore it's tar. So nevertheless, we would have said before that maybe it's Tomei D'Rabbanan, except that we said before that Rabbi Akiva had said that there's no Tumas Yadayim in the Mikdash. We're talking about the base of Mitbachayim. The Pashtos, it's the area next to the Mizbeach where they skin and cut up the Korbanos. Usually only Kohenim would be there, but it does say Yisraelim are able to go there when they're needed for something involving the Korban. For example, they can do Smicha. So Bapashtus, usually the Kohenim would be the ones doing the skinning and the cutting up. But for example, we find in Divrei Hayamim in Chizkiyahu's times, it says when they celebrated Pesach over there, and not all the Kohenim were Tahor, and the Leviim ended up having to help out with the skinning. So in a case like that, yeah, the Leviim or Yisraelim are able to come to the base of Mitbachayim, yeah. Well, the Kohenim wash their hands, but that doesn't mean that during the rest of the day, though, their hands could still become Tamei D'Rabbanan. Yeah, inside the Beis Mikdash. Again, what we said before is, on the first half of the Amud, we were focusing on Tumah D'Rabbanan. We were focusing on what happens. This needle touched the meat. It made the meat Tamei. Shouldn't the meat make the person's hands Tamei on a D'Rabbanan level? And we're saying that not, because there's no Tumas Yadayim Mikdash. And we're saying it's not Matame the knife for a different reason, because B'chalal, by the knife, there's no way for it to become Tomei unless there's Mashkim involved. In fact, I forgot to mention, actually, the Ran explains that the Gemara originally assumed there were Mashkim involved over there, and then says in the end there weren't, and that's why the knife is not becoming Tomei. Now we're focusing on Tumah D'Oraisa. If Rabbi Yehuda is telling us, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is telling us that the needle that you found in the meat is itself an avatuma, why isn't it metame the kalit? Why isn't it metame the knife that touches it or the person that touches it? And the answer is because it's only a suffix whether they touched it. You have to remember the needle definitely touched the meat. So the meat is definitely tame. We're talking now, yeah. So the question is, so the implication is the fact that Rabbi Ashi has to point out that the Beis Mikdash, that the Azara is a Rishus Rabim, implies if it was a Rishus Yachid as far as Tumah V'Tahara, then we would say that it would be Sfeikei Tomei, that it was Sfeikei Tomei. Why? Mechdi, let's consider. The needle itself is something that you can't ask whether it's tamei or tahor, and we know the rule. Such a thing is the suffix tamei involving it is always tahor, even in Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rashi explains that Rashi and Tosfos both say that forget about the needle. The needle, it's not a question whether the needle can be asked. It's a question whether the knife can be asked. The knife is also an inanimate object. The knife is the thing that potentially became tomei, but it's a davar she'ein beidas lishol. When we say suffik tuma, when there's ein beidas lishol, we're referring to the thing that may or may not have become tomei. Like this, the needle itself we're saying is vadai tomei. We're asking whether the knife is tomei or tahor. The knife is a davar she'ein beidas lishol. So even in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that should be tahor. Now, why is that? Because the whole concept of suffik tuma we learn from a soita. We say that a soita is, it's a suffik whether she's tamei, and it was Rishus HaYachid, because only she and the potential boil were together. That's where we get the idea that Rishus HaRabim, meaning if there's three or more people, is not tamei. The suffik is not tamei. Also, on the other hand, the soita has das lichol. You could ask her, did you become tamei or not? So therefore, we learn from that only if it's an adult who has the, so not a child, not an inanimate object, etc. So therefore, so why does Rav Ashi have to stress that the Bais Mikdash, that the Azara is a Rosh Hashanah? Even if it was a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that would be reason enough to say that the knife is Torah. The answer is Mishum Dahavi Suffolk Tumah Babi De'odim. True, but the reason is because this is a Suffolk Tumah which involves a person. A person was being Oisik in it. If the knife did end up touching the needle, it wouldn't be that it touched by itself. It wouldn't be that it accidentally fell and touched the needle. It would be that a person is handling the knife and it touches the needle in that connection. And then the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Safek Tuma Babi De Adam, when the Safek Tuma comes through a person's activities, Nish'olin Aleha, then we do consider that it's a Dovah Sheyesh Beidas Lishol, even though we're talking about a knife, and a knife is an inanimate object, it's still, we consider as though it had Das Lishol. Or Rashi says a second explanation, Nish'olin Aleha, means you'd have to ask a Shaila to Beis Din, what would be the Din with it? Even if the keli is not in a person's hands, even if the keli is put on the ground, so in other words, that let's say for example, the person put it down on the ground, and now there's a question whether it touched the sheretz. So even though he's not holding it in his hands right now, but because he put it there, we still consider it davar sheyesh beidas lishol. So kadavash yesh bedas lishol, it's still considered like a davash yesh bedas lishol, and therefore, were it not for the fact that the azara is a rishus harabim, then we would say that it's a suffix whether the knife that the person is handling touched the needle, and then we would say the knife is tamei misafik. But because it's a rishus harabim, that saves us from having to do that. Again, this is all according to Rav's explanation that we're talking about a needle, which is an avatuma, which we know touched a mess, and then you lost it, and then you found it. According to the Rabbi Yossi Ber Oven, you don't need that because according to him, the needle itself is only a suffix, whether it's tomei or not, because it came from outside Yerushalayim. And therefore, so then we would say suffix did abon lakula anyway. Okay, and we'll continue. We'll continue tomorrow. Bez Hashem, with dealing with the question how the meat itself becomes tomei. What was machshir, this meat, to be makabel tumah? Again, just because the meat naturally has its own liquid is not necessarily reason enough for it to be mukshar lekabel tumah. It has to be mukshar with one of the shiva mashkim. And blood of kodshim, as we said before, is not makshir. So we're going to have to figure that out tomorrow. So it can only be metame, only meat that was mukshar lekabel tumah. So we're going to have to figure that point out. They used to give the cow to drink. That's true. That's true. And yeah, well, you don't have to, though. That's true. But we're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow, actually, Beis Hashem. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.